Welcome to The Leading Tone, a podcast that explores all aspects of all types of music. I'm Fernando.
And I'm Alex, and welcome to The Leading Tone Podcast. Today, we're excited to bring you our first guest interview, but before we get into that, let's guess that lick.
Guess that lick or don't there's a prize.
Welcome to Guess That Lick, our weekly quiz show that tests our musical memory. Each of us will bring an isolated excerpt of music, either from a recording or just a piano track recording, and the other co-hosts will have three listens to Guess That Lick. For a maximum of 5 points per episode, here is the scoring breakdown. 1 point each for the piece, the movement, the composer, the time period, and the genre. Today, Alex has something for me that I'll be taking a listen to, so let's get right into it.
All right, are you ready for your first listen? All right, that was your first listen. You think you could nail down some of this, Fernando?
Yes, I can definitely nail down some of these here. So, let's see, where do I want to start? The time period, it's the classical period, and this is a symphony.
That would be correct.
Right, and the symphony is by Haydn. Now, that complicates things because there are a lot of symphonies by Haydn, over 100. So, that will make things a little bit more complicated here. Let's go ahead and take a listen again, and maybe we can figure out which one it is. I have a clue on which one this is, but...
All right, that was your second listen. You think you can nail down the rest of this? I think you know this one decently well.
Yes, I definitely do. It's funny because I had just mentioned this one to you the other day and thought it was a really cool excerpt that you might not expect to be from Haydn or from this symphony here. This is the fourth movement of his 88th symphony, I think. Is that right?
Yes, that is correct. Yes, the fourth movement, the finale of his 88th symphony. There's this really great Leonard Bernstein video that we had watched a couple of weeks ago, and we come back to fairly often because it's just a great video, and this is a great excerpt of classical music, and we'll have to do an episode on this one because this is one that is kind of a hidden gem a little bit amongst Haydn symphonies. I mean, this is number 88 out of how many?
Right, over 100. And this one is, the video you're talking about with Bernstein is really fun too, because there's a video of him, the one that's really popular is the one where he's conducting just with his face, kind of. He's not using his hands.
Right.
And I actually watched like the full performance of that, and it's actually, he did that as the encore. They had just performed the entire symphony, and then as an encore, he did the fourth movement again, but without conducting with his hands. So it's a really cool thing there. But anyways, that's just a really cool piece, Haydn's 88th symphony. If you haven't heard it, be sure to check it out.
Absolutely. Well, we hope you guys enjoyed guessing that lick with us. Fernando got all 5 points this episode, so we are currently tied up for the month of November. I also have 5 points, and that puts Fernando at a lifetime total of 30 points, and I'm trailing behind 23 points. But we'll see if one of us can trip each other up in the coming weeks. It's been a tight race. We hope that you guys enjoyed trying to guess that lick with us. Let's go ahead and move on to today's topic.
Welcome to today's topic. We actually have a special guest interview today. He's a good friend of mine from Florida when I used to live there, and he is a composer of many different types of music. Specifically today, we're going to be listening to a lot of his music that is for marching band or indoor winds, things like that, and then also some music of his that is more in the popular music genres, kind of more in the hip-hop genre. Without further ado, let's get into the interview. We hope you enjoy. We've got Jake Daniels on the podcast. Jake, what do you do in music? What kind of stuff do you do?
Well, I started playing bass clarinet when I was in third grade, just about, and I picked up, just about as many instruments as I could up until now, whatever I could get my hands on. I don't play as much as I'd like to anymore. Mainly, I do a lot of writing, composing. I mean, lately I've been getting into making beats the best I can. And that's, you know, I try to get it out there, let people listen. What do you think about this? You know, just about that.
Right, very cool. And that's kind of where I met you as well. I met you in a high school band, and you were playing bass clarinet, and you played saxophone as well in there. So a lot of different things there. And that was always really cool that you were such a great multi-instrumentalist. And I've always enjoyed your music, too. You've got, kind of like you said, a little bit of classical stuff and a little bit of more contemporary, like, hip-hop stuff, which is really fun and really cool. So what kind of stuff influences you in your music making when you're making your beats, or when you're making more classical type music?
I do a lot of fusing, kind of like fusing ideas that I hear, different kinds of, because I listen to a wide variety of music, honestly. You know, I grew up listening to 80s music with, you know, 70s, 60s stuff with my mom, my dad, a lot of Ambrosia, Air Supply, you know, old school, ELO, for example. And then, you know, obviously on my own, I picked up a lot of John Coltrane, a lot of jazz, Ray Charles, lots of things that, you know, things that not everybody hears, but they're obviously big, you know, amazing musicians. Of course, I listen to a lot of hip-hop. A lot of Kendrick, for example, J. Cole, of course. You know, I'm very Cordae, for example. I'm very particular with, like, hip-hop nowadays. You know, you see all this different kind of music. It's, you got to pick and choose, you know?
Right, yeah, and that's so great that you have such a diverse taste in music. And we also have a very diverse taste in music over here on the podcast. We've talked about John Coltrane and a couple other people that you mentioned, and planning on talking about some other people that you mentioned as well. You talked about being, like, kind of picky with your like hip hop listening or more contemporary listening. What do you kind of look for when you're listening to that kind of music?
I look for a couple of different things. For example, I'm you know, as somebody who makes beats and composes, I'm always one of the first things I listen to, of course, most musicians, the beat, of course, what's going on underneath. You know, does it sound like it's going to be something very simple? Does it sound like it's like it has a lot that they like they took a lot of time really thinking out what they were going to make, for example? Lyric wise, flow wise, for example, I enjoy rappers like Kendrick, for example, who they can always switch up their flow, for example, regularly, all the time, and it gives a different feeling based on whatever they're saying every time. And, you know, like, people like Drake, for example, yeah, I enjoy him, you know, a car ride, you know, but not something that I would personally listen to or study to if I want to, you know, get better.
Right, yeah, that's a great point there, and Kendrick Lamar, definitely one of my favorite rappers, and I think the world knows that as well. I mean, he's gotten plenty of awards.
I think I remember back in, it was my sophomore year, I want to say, you were actually the one who recommended To Pimp a Butterfly. Like, I think that was back when it came out there, and you were talking about it nonstop. That was the first time I had ever heard Kendrick, so I got to give you props for that one.
Oh, well, thanks. Yeah, that album is so great. It's got such a great mix of jazz and more modern rap sounds, and it's such a great fusion there, and it has such a great political message, such an important political message within it. So that's a really great one, and yeah, Kendrick is just great. Such a great rapper. He's got a really important voice in the rap scene, and everything he says just has a real weight to it, which is really cool.
Yeah, this is all great stuff. Now, Jake, on this podcast, I would say a pretty large chunk of our audience is the orchestral and wind band type audience. So I wanted to ask, what are some of your favorite composers or pieces in those genres, whether it be orchestral or wind band or something of that like?
One of my favorite all-time pieces is a piano piece. I played it originally Nocturne by Chopin. That's one of my all-time favorite pieces. Just, I remember we played it my sophomore year in wind ensemble, and it was just one of the most beautiful pieces I'd ever heard in my life. So I enjoy a lot of Chopin, a lot of Copland, of course. I listen to a lot of John Mackey as well, because he some of the things, you know, that he'll do, some of the sounds that he's able to create when he puts the right instruments together. He just has something different about him. You know what I mean?
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah.
There's a lot of really unique sounds in John Mackey's music, as well as Copland and Chopin, all composers that we've talked about on the podcast and we also listen to pretty frequently. So that's really, really cool there.
Yeah, and what's really cool is that all three of those composers have really unique voices, I think, in their respective genres or time periods. Chopin is so improvisatory, and he's got kind of a little bit more of a laid-back feeling, but also it can get pretty hectic with all of the grace notes and all the ornaments that he's putting in there. And then Copland's got the, you know, he's cornered the market on that 20th century American music. And then John Mackey, he's got the modern wind band scene, at least in the U.S., pretty locked down. A lot of wind bands in at the high school level or in the middle school level, even the college level, are playing John Mackey's music. So it's definitely unique there to each person.
Oh, for sure. Yeah, that's a lot of great listening there, Jake. And hopefully that'll give our listeners something more to listen to. So how do these composers and all of that music we were talking about before, like Kendrick, how does this stuff kind of influence your compositional process? Do you find yourself having a lot of those influences end up showing up in the music that you're writing and arranging?
I do. You know, typically when I start composing something, whether it's a beat, whether it's a piece or a marching band show, whatever it could be, I always start on my piano, of course. I have that. I start messing around. I start coming up with whatever chords I can think of. I use a lot of jazzier type chords, things you would hear on a Mac Miller album, for example. Typically I take a lot of these ideas, a lot of these very free sounding composers. I like to mix it a lot. When I write my music, I'm very free about it. I'm very open. I don't like it being too cluttered, you know.
Right. So how much are you using music theory then when you're writing your music? How much are you thinking about, you know, maybe the chord progressions, or are you not thinking about that and kind of just letting it go however it sounds good?
It's kind of funny that you asked that, because originally I used to just write and let it go wherever it would take me. I haven't gone to school for music, unfortunately. So a lot of it was kind of just, you know, me on the fly with my keyboard, like, oh, okay, I can do this, so that doesn't sound, you know what I mean? It's more of like a lately thing, and some of the things that I compose now, for example, I spend a lot more time watching where I'm going with the music. Yeah,
very cool. Yeah, and that's a lot of times I'll do the same kind of thing when I'm kind of composing in my free time. I'll do a similar thing where I just kind of let the music go wherever it sounds right, however I think it will sound really nice coming from where it's going, kind of thing. And so I think that's a great exercise to do, especially either if you don't have music theory knowledge or a basis there, or if you just want to break out of those really strict rules and guidelines of music theory in the classical sense. So I think that can be really great. And if it's, you know, I always say, if it sounds good, it sounds good, it's good music. So that's a great compositional process too. I know a lot of people just kind of work it out on the piano and then move it over there. So I think that's is really cool.
Absolutely, yeah. The compositional process is so interesting, and you see so many varieties of different approaches, from something that's maybe a little bit more academic, purely academic music, or music that is a little bit more like you said, you begin kind of with an end in mind. You kind of have an idea of where you want things to go and how you want things to sound, a roadmap, if you will. So definitely really interesting there. And I think we have some interesting takes on this show today, because, well, it's interesting that you say that, Fernando. With your music, I feel like a lot of it ends up being really, really harmonically complex and not from like a theory perspective necessarily. It really ends up just being what sounds good, and then I can hear a lot of that in Jake's music as well, the bit I've listened to, so that's really, really cool.
Right, yeah. And I think that that's kind of also just a familiar background to both of us, because we did have a little bit of music theory education in our high school experience, and so that combined with doing jazz band, I know Jake did jazz band with me as well, all of that kind of comes together and forms a basis for both of us. And I think that's really special and a great connection between the two of us. And we'll get to hear a little bit of Jake's music in just a second.
Yeah, and before we get on to some of your music, Jake, and listening to it and talking to it, I want to hear a little bit more about your online presence and how you're like distributing your music. How can people find your music?
Well, as of right now, I have an Instagram page, Jake Daniels Music, and I have a link in my personal Instagram page for that. I've been kind of slow lately with posting some music because I've been working around with a couple different people trying to get some actual vocalists writing a couple actual songs instead of just beats in particular. But I do have an Instagram page and I have a SoundCloud, and I'm hoping to at some point get some of this music on Spotify, Apple Music if possible, down the line.
Absolutely. Definitely be out on the lookout for that. That's all really cool stuff. And yeah, Fernando and I think we were recording an episode of the podcast a few weeks ago, and he brought me through your SoundCloud, and we listened to a bunch of stuff, and I just thought it was really cool how not only were your marching band and wind stuff so really well done, but then he's telling me about all like the beats and stuff that you write as well, and it just goes to show, I mean, that it's really important to be versatile in music and be able to do all these kind of things. That's how you get jobs and you get your music known to people, so that's really cool.
You know, another thing that I'm noticing as well is a lot of it tends to mesh together as well. Like everything I'm learning on FL Studio, for example, I now know how to sample things. You know, just for example, I can put all these different sound effects and change, you know, all the electronics, for example, in the marching band. So like, it all goes back and forth now, which is it's all a really great tool to have.
Are those some things that you would consider putting into maybe like a wind band piece? Obviously, a marching band show, you're thinking you would add into that with some electronics. So are those kind of the things you're thinking about too when you're composing those? Do you think about, oh, I can put this cool sound here, or I could, you know, throw in a sample of this, you know, at a certain point?
Oh, most definitely. Because with you mentioning that, I have this one idea that I think I may have mentioned it to you or not, but it's this one idea that I have, and I'm just in the process of, you know, like writing down ideas, breaking down things that I'm thinking about to use, for example. But that's definitely one of the bigger ideas that I have for it, is including a lot more electronic music, a lot more sound effects, a lot of different changes in time.
Yeah, pretty and much, that's yeah. That's really cool, and I think that's really one strong direction that music has taken, especially in the classical music scene, particularly from kind of the mid 20th century period. With people like Boulez and Stockhausen and other, you know, big names like that, they really push for electronic music. And I think that has benefited modern classical music greatly, because now we have more people trying to incorporate electronics into music like that. And it's influenced all different types of music in that way, even pop music. Funny enough, I found this out recently, the orchestra hit sound, you know what I'm talking about?
yeah, the Mario 64 one.
The generic orchestra sound?
Yeah, the orchestra hit sound is actually the first hit in the Infernal Dance from the Firebird Suite by Stravinsky. So not exactly electronic music there, but it shows you how there is an overlap between classical music and more like popular styles of music.
You know, I'm trying to get away from some of my older forms of writing. The other day I was listening to some of my older pieces, you know, I wasn't cringing, but I was getting kind of close to it, just because it's a very repetitive, very you know, four bar phrased. You kind of go from one pattern to the other to the other. I'm trying to make a more organic as a whole type of.
Yeah, that's really great, and it's so great that you kind of look back and kind of review and revise some of your older works and kind of grow off of that and grow from that, because it's a really great skill to have as a person, but also definitely as a composer. And I do that all the time with my music too. I find myself going back to some older stuff and going, oh man, this sounds really weird. Why did I decide to do this? Or why did I repeat this section here? So that's really cool. And hopefully we won't hear any of that in our examples today.
Yeah, I know that Fernando and I definitely both get on that that group where we listen to some of our old music and we're like, some of this was not so much. But then sometimes it's just like, I know I definitely wasn't thinking here, but this ended up turning out better than we thought. So
yeah, it's all part of that compositional process there, kind of learning from maybe your mistakes, but also learning from what you think sounded really good and implementing that later.
I think a lot of that has to do with what you're listening to at the time, of course. You know, like, at one point, for example, I might have been listening to a lot of Eminem. Who knows, right? And then right now, I'll be honest with you, I've definitely gotten into a lot of non-rap music, mm-hmm. for example. Like, the other day, I discovered, like, for me personally, I recently discovered this one artist. I can't think of her name at this moment. Rayami.
Okay, I have not heard of her.
She had this one song, I want to say it's called Freaks, and it had like a very circus type, very dark, the beat of it. It was different. And I got a couple ideas from it, you know, different ways that I could take some different kinds of music. But again, you know, like the composition process, obviously it has a lot to do with what you're listening to at the time, what you're watching, what you're feeling.
Yeah,
of course.
And that affects me so much too. And I know that affects a lot of people. When you're composing music, it's so, it's actually, I find it really great to draw on the influences that are influencing you at the time, because you can get all of these really, different sounds, really cool sounds. Obviously, if you're listening to that music, that's what you're really into at that moment. And so the music that you write can also be kind of a, timestamp or a kind of a, time capsule of what you've listened to over time. I know that I've gotten pretty deep into like serialism, or I've gotten really deep into really contemporary styles, and then my music will sound like that. And then sometimes I'll listen to more romantic music, and then suddenly I have something that sounds like Tchaikovsky on my computer. So it's a really wide range there. But yeah, I think that's really great that you draw on all those influences, because I definitely do that too, and I think a lot of people do. It's an important thing to do when composing music.
Yeah, very cool there. I love talking about all this stuff. I say we go ahead and listen to some of this music, and then we'll talk about it some more.
So the first track we're going to be listening to by Jake Daniels is I Messaged You, kind of based on the iMessage system on the iPhone, on the Apple electronics. So let's take a listen. I'm not the one who's always right. All right, so that was I Messaged You by Jake Daniels. You can find him out, or you can find him on SoundCloud, and you can find this track on SoundCloud, a really, really fun one, a really great one. I love all of the different sounds in here, all of the sampling of the I Message sounds, and I also really enjoy the actual instrument track, like choices in the sound font. What software are you using for this kind of music?
Well, for this, I'm using FL Studio. I use it for most of my beats that I make. Definitely a learning curve to it. Lots of finding the sounds that you want. You know, a lot of sampling, a lot of going on the very dangerous looking websites to get these little sound packs that you like. You know.
I love that. That's great. So can you talk a little bit about your compositional process with this one? I know you mentioned all the stuff with the iPhone sounds and stuff, but there's a lot of cool stuff in here, and I love this trumpet line that you have going on. And also, we'll talk about that transition that you had about like a minute and a half in there. That was really cool.
Well, for the I remember the night that I was making this beat, I had just I had actually unlocked the higher up version of FL Studio. You save up a little money; it's very expensive, but I had gotten some trumpets on there, like some better sounding trumpets than what's on there, and I started, you know, coming up with a couple chords, this and that, and I wanted to do something a little jazzier, a little different. I actually didn't have the idea for the iPhone thing at that point, and I started coming up with these chords, and then, you know, I was like, maybe I could get like a synth or something to play this melody, or, you know, be like somebody singing, but I kind of wanted to just keep it as an instrumental thing for now, of course. And then, you know, I found this really nice trumpet sound. It's like almost like a muted trumpet a little bit, and I started using that, and it just kind of started putting it together. It came out very well with the trumpet part, at least. I enjoy that as well.
Yeah, it's super cool, and as trumpet players, Fernando and I, we really appreciate it, and we really love that. It's just a... I love how that transition kind of took us to an unexpected place, because there was like all that iPhone stuff and the sounds and the intro, and then once that synth kind of really kicked in, I was like, whoa, wow, this is a really different and cool sound. So great job there, Jake. We really, really like this music.
Yeah, I really love it. It's almost like a comedy genre mixed with hip hop in a way, but yeah, only slightly, but it definitely has the groove and you know, the kick and the bass that I really want in something like this. So it's really cool, and I think it's also a growing genre, I think, of this like kind of meta type music where you're using sounds and stuff from real life, and also just incorporating that into kind of sometimes more of a lo-fi beat, sometimes just just a regular beat. So I think it's really cool.
Now, Jake, do you do a lot of that bedroom pop kind of listening? Because that definitely gives me some of that vibe in this one.
So, like, one of the places that I do a lot of discovering of music as well is actually on TikTok. Because there's a lot of musicians on there, a lot of people putting out music, because it's a great place to put out music. I was thinking of making one myself for my music.
Yeah.
And, you know, you start to hear people making beats out of literally anything. You know, coming up with these ideas, things that everyday sounds, their phone, a pen clicking, water drops. I think I was telling Fernando about that earlier. This guy made a beat out of water drops, and I do a lot of listen to that, and you kind of get ideas for making music out of anything at that point.
Yeah, definitely. And I think TikTok is doing such a great job of exposing people to different kinds of music and letting people kind of get their music out there, because it could be anything, and it gets served up to different people based on kind of what they like. And you could find something that you normally wouldn't listen to on TikTok pretty easily. And you can also get your music out to a wider audience that you wouldn't necessarily expect to be listening to your music. So that's a really cool feature there.
Yeah, just don't go down into the dark depths of TikTok.
Oh,
stay on the music side of TikTok.
Yeah, of course.
All right, so the next track we're going to be listening to by Jake Daniels is Mother Earth. Let's take a listen.
Some call me nature. Others call me Mother Nature. I've been here for over 4.5 billion years.
So that was Mother Earth by Jake Daniels. This time, a more marching band or wind band type piece here. What is the intended ensemble here, Jake?
This is for an indoor percussion show. Oh, I mean indoor wind show. I'm sorry. So for this, you know, there's no piccolo because I feel like it would cut through. It'd be a bit too unbearing inside. I do mainly flute, clarinet, saxophone, you know, full brass section. And then I do have some, there's a piano, marimba vibes, guitar part as well. And then a lot of more powerful sounding drums. Not necessarily a drum set. You know, that's one of the reasons I was asking about the whole picking percussions and including them in a wind show, just to add to that more, just to add like a different feel to it.
Yeah.
Yeah, you know, it would be really cool if you could get your hands on them. Taiko drums would actually work really well for that drum sound there.
That's in a show I'm writing right now, actually. Yeah, that's really cool. I that's a great suggestion. I was thinking that as I was writing that, because it went with that powerful drum sound that you had in there. What I thought was so cool and so well done was how the while the brass is playing more lyrically, there's also some really great dissonance in there. And great release and great consonants there as well. I just thought it was really, really well done and well arranged and well orchestrated. The orchestration here is really quite good, and I love listening to the I Messaged You and this back to back. It really shows off your versatility there. It's really impressive, man.
I appreciate that a lot. A lot of the orchestration, the dissonance in particular you were talking about, I think something we mentioned earlier, how I was trying to have that one sound particularly from the brass and then create a little bit more dissonance with the woodwinds. I kind of view the woodwinds as like the pollution, mainly humans, for example, polluting the earth. And that dissonance would kind of symbolize that in a way. And of course, like, it lines up the best I could with the voiceovers that I had chopped up into there.
Yeah, it's just so refreshing also to hear your intention behind this stuff, because so much of the time when Fernando and I listen to music, especially music that we discuss on the show, we can only guess or we can infer from writing of a lot of composers. So this is really cool to have somebody who's writing the music on, and really cool to hear your rationale there. And I love the idea of the woodwinds being pollution and the brass being a little bit more beautiful and lyrical, representing that side of Mother Earth. And I also wanted to talk about the voiceovers a little bit. Now, are those sampled or is that a real life speaking? Because it sounds really impressive.
Those are actually sampled.
Wow.
There's this video on YouTube about a very similar video about global warming. That's actually Julia Roberts narrating a video. I just wanted something just to like get the train rolling, and I was actually thinking about getting somebody to record it at some point. It's got to find somebody with a similar type voice, kind of change it around a little bit. I sampled that from a YouTube video that I had found.
That's really cool, and I love that how that's Julia Roberts. That's fantastic. It'll be hard to find somebody with the same voice as Julia Roberts. So.
All right, so that one, as you could tell, was MIDI sounds on the on that track there, or for that piece. And so, if you wanted to hear this in person or with real instruments, then you would have to buy the music from Jake. And if they wanted to buy the music, Jake, where could they contact you for that?
Well, as of now, it's not really available for purchasing or checking out. I want to say I was in the process of making a YouTube account for it, and as well as creating a website with some other folks that I'm working on creating these shows, you know, like Drill, Battery, things like that. They're helping me out. We're kind of like a little bit of a team right now. We're in the process of making a website. As of now, I could say the best way to contact me would be through my Instagram page, as of now. But I there really is no place to listen to any of these compositions just yet.
Getting the exclusive. Yeah.
You know, I kind of want to, I had this idea in my head of wanting to be with a school and kind of do the thing that, I forget the gentleman who writes the songs or writes the music for Box 6. Ian Grom and another gentleman.
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, they did, like, Blue Stars for a while.
And they have this deal with Chino Hills High School where they write all the music for their shows for that year particular. And they'll showcase the show, and then the show goes out for sale for anybody else who wants to use it. I kind of want to do something similar to that if I can get that deal worked out with some school or group or something to that effect.
Yeah, I know Frank Sullivan does that kind of stuff. I was looking into something similar to that for the last couple of years. It's kind of fallen by the wayside because anytime I've written for a group, it's ended up being by sheer happenstance, and I've been grateful for that. But since starting the podcast, I've kind of slowed down on that. So that's really, really, really cool. And yeah, the best way to do that kind of stuff is to partner up with people. So that's really cool, Jay. I'm excited to hear this on the floor one day. I'm hoping that a group gets to pick this up because it's really, really cool. And it's a great idea for a show. The Mother Earth concept's so cool.
I feel like it's an underused concept. Maybe used, like Park Vista, for example, they had that one show. I think, I want to say it was 2017, 20, I want to say, and they had this one guy on stilts. And
oh, yeah, I remember that show.
You know what I mean? I forget, Disparadise, I think it was
yeah.
called.
Yeah, mm-hmm.
Yeah, so, like, there's other ideas for it, but I feel like this one in particular is more of, more of, like, a global idea of what basically is going to happen. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Oh, that's really cool. It's a timely show.
But then at the same time, I kind of want to, like, I wanted to create that, it's almost like, it's giving Mother Earth, I guess life in a way, like giving her own persona, and then kind of showing more of like a darker side of humans, that they're a burden, and I kind of want to be able to fit in somehow how they don't know necessarily, or they don't realize the scope of it.
Right, the small things that people do that might affect the planet. Yeah, it's really great and really timely. So great stuff, Jake.
All right, so the next track we've got by Jake Daniels is Trip. Let's take a listen. That was Trip by Jake Daniels. This is another great, great track. I really love this one. Very electronic. I have to ask what you were listening to kind of get you influenced to write something like this.
Well, I, at the time, was listening to a lot of Mac Miller's newer album, like the last two albums, since he passed, Swimming in Circles, both of them. And he does a lot of jazz and a lot of a lot of sampling. But lately he's been with the last two albums, the last one in particular, he did a lot of electronic music, a lot of soundscapes, I made this around the time where he passed, after he passed and this album came out, And I was just listening to it, and I wanted to try and do something different. That's just about where I got the ideas for it.
Yeah, that's really great. I think the end product is really fantastic. It really does have that Mac Miller soundscape type sound. And I think that's really cool. It's got this weight to it as well that is definitely like heavy, but but still kind of moving along. And it's, oh man, I really enjoy this one. It's a good one.
Yeah, and I was thinking as I was listening to this that this is one that does a really good job of balancing what I want from something with a little bit more of that pop kind of sound, as well as something maybe a little bit more orchestral or wind band-esque. I found myself really, really enjoying like the heaviness that you were getting out of the synthesizer, and then some of those that towards the beginning it sounded like maybe muted trumpet or a violin type sample. Really, really cool stuff. And I love the harmonic progression here. It almost reminded me a little bit of something you might hear from one of the other composers we discussed on the show, Fernando, Rautavaara, actually.
Right. Yeah, that was way back in the Nordic Composers episode.
That was actually the first episode that I had listened to when I found out that Fernando had a podcast. We recently got back in touch. And he told me about the podcast and all, and I gave a listen to that on the way to work. It was a very good podcast. I always love tuning into you guys.
Oh well.
Oh, thank you.
Yeah. Well, we very much appreciate it. We love listening to your music. So we really appreciate you coming on and sharing this stuff with us, because it's so cool. And I think we're finally living up to our mantra a bit, Fernando, of listening to all types of all kinds of music, because just the variety we've had on the show today alone has been really cool. And to have the person that is writing the music and such a cool guy on the show, this is great. We love it.
Yeah, and that's why I wanted to get Jake on so much, because he has this really diverse portfolio of music. He has so many different kinds of music, and I think that's just fascinating, because a lot of the times you get a composer that kind of stays in their lane, and so Jake has a lot of different kinds of things. And as we've heard, I mean, it's really great stuff here. For me, this previous track here, just to go back to that for a second, it's really got almost a film soundtrack kind of vibe too. Like maybe what you'd hear in like maybe a movie trailer or just throughout a film too. I just thought about that when I was listening to it for a little bit too. Okay, so next we have a full marching band show, right, Jake?
Yes, sir.
Okay, and it is called The Desert. Let's take a listen. Thank you. just to remind you here, this was The Desert, and this was just kind of the first movement here. This is a full marching band show, which is really great. Really great work from Jake here. And like he said, he's worked with a whole team of people to kind of put this together. So if you're interested in anything like that, make sure to contact him, Jake Daniels Music, on Instagram here. But yeah, I really love this first movement here, and I'm dying to hear more. So do we want to hear some more?
I did really love, Jake, how you're not afraid to have the winds play long phrases at all. I think the biggest problem with a lot of marching band music is it's way too choppy. There's too much impact moments and not enough development. You really take your time and allow things to breathe and develop. So I'm really, really digging the arranging style here. And man, if it's as much of a joy to listen to as it is to teach, man, that's exciting. That's just really exciting music, Jake.
I think one of the only things, I definitely appreciate that. And when it comes to developing these phrases, these ideas that I have, because there's so many of them, it's I feel like one thing I'm definitely trying to work on as well is also being able to develop them so in a way where they're not cut off in a way, but at the same time I want to be able to get more straight to the point as well. Also, another work in progress of personally of mine is not remaining on the same idea as well, because that's of course a very it's difficult when you're trying to unwrap so much, you know what I mean?
Right, yeah, and it's very I think you get to the point very well. I think that it's very evocative of the desert theme, and I can just picture all the imagery that goes along with it, so I'm sure that this will be really, really great on the field.
Yeah, and this would be such challenging music, I think, for the students, but I think it's so exciting and so easy to really get into that I think it most people would rise up to the challenge of this music. I think it's really fun and would be a great show for any school.
All right. Well, do we want to listen to some more of this?
Here is some more of The Desert by Jake Daniels. Thank you. So that was the slower movement, the kind of middle movement here, of The Desert by Jake Daniels, a full marching band show. Really, really great one here. And we were just talking about it a little bit before. And it's just got, yeah, it's got this really beautiful mellophone solo to end it, and a lot of really great melodies throughout. And it really just kind of has that organic sound that I think you're going for in the Mother Earth one, too. It really has a really good flow to it, and it's really cool for a marching band sound. I don't think too many groups are getting this kind of sound on the field or anything, or something close to this.
Now, Jake, do I detect a little bit of that desert at night kind of sound here at the beginning of this?
A little bit. Definitely with the synth that I was using. This is around the time when I started really using my piano before I was composing everything. One of the sounds I definitely wanted to express in this movement is kind of the desperation of being in a desert, seeing a mirage of water everywhere. And it's just, this, you know, the second you get to it, it just disappears. That's kind of what I try to do with repeating the very, the intro, that little, those little notes that were played in the beginning of, like, every single section of the ballad. Very repetitive, very dragged on a little bit.
Yeah, there's also right. a lot of really cool jazz influences, I think, in this one, particularly
yes, sir.
In the trumpet and the mellophone lines in particular.
Yeah, it kind of gives it that laid back, but it gives it that laid back feeling, but it also kind of gives it that that weight and heaviness that is necessary for like that mirage type feeling.
Yeah, this is another really cool one.
Yeah, and it has a groove too. I think that's always important for anything like this. I think it's got a really good groove to it, along with just really great music. I enjoy how the melody kind of gets passed around a lot, and that's really cool too.
All right, Jake, anything else you want to add on this movement?
I do want to say, you know, like, one of the things I'm still considering is whether I'm going to add a drum line. I don't know if in the middle of it you kind of heard right before that big final hit. That's one of the things I'm still kind of toying around with, is whether it might be a bit much for this movement. You know, something just for me personally I'm thinking about. But I'm all good for the most part.
All right.
Yeah, okay. Well, then that's a really good point, too, that the percussion in slower marching band movements can kind of get neglected sometimes, or sometimes they're left out for kind of a artistic or creative reason, and sometimes it has to happen, but I think it's used really well here. I think it sounds really nice, even with the percussion coming in kind of in the middle there.
Yeah, this is really great stuff, Jake. All right, are we going to take a listen to the last movement of this marching band show? Is there one more movement?
One more movement, yes.
All right. Well, I'm excited to see how this finishes out.
Okay, the last movement of The Desert. Let's take a listen. Thank you. Okay, so that was The Ending of the Desert by Jake Daniels, a full marching band show. We got to listen to the whole thing today, which is phenomenal. And we've got quite a lot happening here at the end in this final movement. It's so exciting. I love just how it ramps up and it starts with this really cool groove. What kind of stuff were you thinking when you were writing this one, Jake? What kind of inspires this last movement?
For the last movement, I was definitely looking... I was watching a lot of DCI shows, trying to... channel a lot of whatever I could for this. And there was this one video in the lot of a drum line. And I forget which show it was. I want to say, like, Marimba Spiritual, one of the... For one of the... I totally forget. But they had started with, like, this really nice groove, something similar to the tribal show my high school year. And I wanted to start with something different. Not your typical... basic, you know, hits or, you know what I mean? Something different, I guess.
Yeah, I think it definitely achieves that. It definitely has a different sound than a lot of other marching band shows.
I was about to say that it had this cool mix of maybe Pat Metheny and drum corps, a little bit of that cool kind of guitar sounding writing. I was gonna say definitely some cool sounding drum corps influences here. I guess that that ends up bleeding into a lot of marching band shows. What are some of your favorite drum corps that have kind of inspired some of your marching band writing?
Personally, I've definitely always been a fan of Boston. I always loved Boston. I've always loved the Stars, of course, and I definitely love their shows. You get a lot of ideas for different things. But definitely Boston. I love Boston. One of my favorite drum corps.
Right, and I also noticed a lot of great tuba features in there. Lots of great tuba parts to go along with that bass stuff, so that's a really cool weaving of parts there.
Tubas definitely go underappreciated.
Yeah, and I really think that it's cool. I think you really toe the line well between like going way too overboard on the Arabian feeling and then going the opposite and completely avoiding it. I think you do have like some elements that are really great to kind of stay in the middle, get the point across, but don't smack you over the head. Hey, this is an Arabian desert show kind of thing. So I think that's really, really cool. And it's definitely very unique, and that's why I like it so much. There's so many different, each movement has its own style. Each movement has its own groove, significant melodies. It's just overall a great package altogether, and I think it conveys the idea really well. You can do so much with it visually, with any kind of props or with body movement and things like that. So it's very cool.
Yeah, really, really great stuff, Jake. And we can't thank you enough for being our first guest here on the show. I think it goes without saying, I think I'm speaking for Fernando and I here, that anytime you want to come on the show, like, well, the schedule is open for you, because we really enjoy not only listening to your music, but getting your take. I think that you've added a lot to this. You know, sometimes Fernando and I get bogged down with some of the same kind of stuff, but we really love having you on the show.
Thanks a lot, man.
I've definitely really appreciated the offer. When Fernando, told me, you know, we have this podcast and we'd love for you to come on sometime, I was speechless for a second, because I hadn't really gotten an opportunity like that. And I'm definitely gracious to be here. I really appreciate the opportunity to talk with other people who love music just as much as I do, of course. You know, there's not a lot of that around, and, you know, I definitely look for that and ways to get your music out there, see how other people feel about it, what feelings it brings up from them, which is one of the most important things, in my opinion, is what you can bring out of people when they hear your music.
Right, yeah, and anytime you have something new, we'd love to listen to it on the show, because I think it's great for our audiences and us as well to get to hear music that's being written here and now. And for the people that are looking for beat type stuff or maybe marching band or indoor winds type stuff, this is a great way to get a fix of some stuff that you won't be able to really hear much at all elsewhere on the internet, because you said that this stuff isn't really posted anywhere. So people are getting kind of that inside scoop on what's new in that realm of music.
You know, I definitely do a lot of. I'm always open to more personal requests as well. For example, like anybody needs. Like, I'm working with a couple people right now making some songs, and you know, there's this one friend of mine. He's you know, make me a beat like this. I'll make him a beat. You know, I'll start listening to some different artists, discovering some more personal music for myself, of course. And it gives you more. It's always more to add, more ideas, more different ways that you can play this melody. For example, this scale. For example, you could do it an infinite amount of ways. And you get different ideas of how you can manipulate your music.
Definitely. Oh, absolutely. Yeah, those kind of collaborations are so valuable. I know anytime I write anything, I'm almost always showing it to Fernando, and I'm like, what should I do here? Or, like, just weigh in. What's your input on stuff? And Fernando, vice versa, we do that a lot. So, really great with collaboration with musicians there. Well, Jake, can you remind our audiences where they can find you on Instagram and SoundCloud and such?
Well, you can always find me on Instagram, on my music Instagram, at Jake Daniels Music. And the same goes for SoundCloud as well, Jake Daniels. I'm also in the process of starting up a website for marching band music and beats alike. I'm also working to get some of my music on Spotify, but that's of course in the future, but for now just Instagram and SoundCloud.
Great. Well, yeah, that we'll put all that information in the show notes and the description so you guys can check it out, and definitely give Jake a follow here and show him some love, tell him what you like about his music, and yeah, we'll definitely have Jake back on the show at some point. So absolutely, thank you again for joining us.
Thank you guys for having me. I really appreciate it.
And thanks to the audience. Thanks for listening. I hope you enjoyed this one. We hope you enjoyed this one. It was a really fun time talking to Jake here. So until next time, we'll talk at you next week. Thanks for listening.
Thanks for listening to the Leading Tone Podcast. You can email us at theleadingtonepodcast@gmail.com.
Or you can find us on social media at The Leading Tone Podcast with no spaces on Instagram, and The Leading Tone Podcast on Facebook.
Thanks again, and tune in next Monday for more of The Leading Tone Podcast.